I tell you, Father's Day, are you a father or a dad? Now listen, I called my dad, and we all do different things. I call him Daddy. Up to the end, he was my daddy. Some of you call your father father, and that's fine. I'm not talking about that with this title. But there's a difference in the way I'm doing the title with father or dad. Are you? You need to be a dad. And sometimes, you know, we get so busy and you say, well, I'm a dad because I bring the support to help my children and help. But they want more than, they want you. They want their dad to be their daddy. I love my dad. I wish I could spend a little time with him. I really do. He had a sense of humor. He was a, you say, where did I get my terrible sense of humor? From my dad. I love my dad, man, I'll tell you. You know, when we were at Carrollton, I don't know why I ever did this, but he would, at the end of the service, he'd walk to the back and I would walk with him. 6-7-year-old boy, and I'd grab his hand and walk out. I don't know why I did it, but I did it. And he really appreciated it. When did I stop? Oh, a little bit later. I said, man, I'm not doing that. That's sissy looking, but, you know, whatever. Are you a father or a dad? I want you to think about that. You know, we have a mail center where I live now. We live in the Villages. Some of you know what that is. It's a bunch of retired people that when you're 72, and I'll be 73 soon, it makes you feel young because most of them are 80 or 90. So that's why you go to a place like that, because you could always be better than them. We have a mail center. They don't deliver to the house, which I really do like, because if you're not home, nobody ever knows it. And so I go to the mail center, and I try to talk to the people, and I see the postmistress that's there. And as she walks in, I said, are you ready for Father's Day? And she gave me that sideward glance, rolled her eyes, and said, I guess. Wow. No one to do that for Mother's Day. Fathers, I'm going to put you on top today. I'm not going to try to beat you up. I really am. Most people don't appreciate as much as fathers do, right? Can I tell you something? Fathers, you're teachers. You're going to teach your whole life, either good or bad. But you can be very busy in the workforce and still be a good dad. You sure can. As I remember back, and I've shared this story before, but I always wanted, I can't even think now, what the big steel balls, pinball ball. I always wanted one. Don't ask me why. Now, some of you gave me some, so don't bring any more. I've got a lot of them now. But I wanted one. So we went and walked down the Ohio River to a junkyard, and there were some pinball machines there. And we tried to find them, but we couldn't find them. That was a high commodity in kids' world. Those things. I don't know why I liked them. I could win those things. I could play pinball, and I could beat anybody. I cheated, but I could be. I found out if you put them on your toes, you can win every time. I got caught a few times and asked to leave, but boy, I sure won tons of games. One time I rang up over 100 and some games, and now I take them off my feet. Now, kids, don't you listen to this. Don't listen to this. We're teachers. You know, sometimes we are just, you know, when we were still in our frame building 8 miles to the south, we had a couple brothers that came. They didn't know the other was coming. And they had not spoken to each other for over 40 years. And they're both in our church. And everybody's saying, Pastor, what can you do to get them to talk to each other? How would you like to try that one? So I'd go up to one. I said, well, why don't you talk to your brother? I just don't like him. I'm not going to ever talk to him. I said, why? What happened between you two? Not either one of them could remember what happened, but they did. That's true. As I tried to get them together, they both left the church, and I got them to stay. I guess they stayed together away from the church. You imagine that? I remember a story of a father and son that lived in the same house. And the preacher went over to visit, and the mother said, I'm not going to pretend. These two haven't spoke to each other in years. They pass each other in the house and won't speak to each other. Now, I doubt if there's anybody in this room like that. I seriously doubt it. But there could be. There could be. Can I share something? You love your dad even if all he did was get you into this earth. You say, well, no, I had a bad dad, terrible dad. Well, maybe you should love him and maybe he'd love you. Maybe when you think you can't stand your dad, you ought to go give him a hug and he might die of a heart attack and you get rid of him. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. You know, it's not easy. It's not easy being a dad. This morning, you know, the people that make shampoo are anti-dad. They are. My wife has about, I don't know, 30 to 50 different shampoo bottles. Maybe a little bit of embellishment there, but anyway. And you, none of them say shampoo. They're little tiny print that no person over 40 can read. I get so upset. Every morning I'm trying to find out what is the shampoo. And then I went to my daughter Julie's house. Oh, my goodness. She has about 8,000 bottles of shampoo. And none of it says shampoo except that tiny little print. By the time I get out of there, and it usually is 3 to 4 weeks later, I finally find the shampoo after you try all that. And oh, my goodness. These conditioners, some of them aren't made for men. You put them on, your hair just goes like cotton candy. Boy, that's a conditioner and a half, isn't it? Well, let us start, and this is a Father's Day message, and this is certainly one that I think could help all of us. In Matthew 7, and we're going to go 7 through 12, but not necessarily total order, ask and it shall be given. You seek, and you shall find, knock, and it shall be opened unto you. Fathers, it's not how much money you bring in. You need to learn this principle. You know, the original, this is where the knock-knock jokes came from. I hate them. You kids are wanting to tell me some, and they'll come up to me after this and tell me knock-knock jokes. I hate them. Whoever invented those, they took the Bible and twisted it, didn't they? But it says, knock, knock, and it'll be open. And this is how we can have spiritually fat homes. God's designed the home as a place to pass the baton. I remember we used to go to the ACE conferences, and we had a tag team going, and they'd pass the baton. I remember Pastor Paul and Pastor Jim and all the different ones running. Passing the baton. I remember one time they were bringing the baton and the one trying to get the baton dropped it. And we lost. We could have won, but we lost. And, you know, you still think of that. You think, wow, we could have won. I think about when we played for the final for the championship, Illinois championship and Iowa championship. And we would have won. If Pastor Mark had been on the team, but he'd been put off the team. He was put off the team more than any other person we ever had. You think that's a joke? It's not. I remember Pastor Mark Moore saying to Pastor Mark Julian, remember that championship? Oh, I forgot, Mark, you were on camera detail. We made him sit there and do cameras. He had to sit there and watch his team, and we lost by 1 point to Pastor Mark Moore. That was painful, buddy. You can't get more painful. But see, we have all these things that we do. We need to pass the baton. We need to do that. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he, this verse 8, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Wow. Wow. Or what man is there of you whom, if the son asks bread, will give him a stone? I don't think any father here would give their son a stone if he wanted bread, is there? Now, I saw a couple of wives ready to stand. Please don't do that. Is there? You know, my dad, he was such a practical joker, even when he was a child. And one time, his sister, we called her Aunt Jane, she was about 20 miles away working at a summer program somewhere. And my dad got the idea to make a mud pie, but he put meringue on the top. And he takes it to his sister. And she was blown away that she could have such a kind brother. And she cut into that, and it was mud. And after that, his name was Mud. Oh, he did that. That's a true story. He really did that. You know, a small boy's definition of Father's Day is just like Mother's Day, only you don't spend as much. That's true. Definition of a father. A father is a man who carries picture where he used to carry money. Paul Harvey. A father is a thing that is forced to endure childbirth without painkiller. Now listen, I know you women think you go through it. You have no idea until you've been a father. You don't understand how hard it is to be a father during childbirth. I know y'all really get mad on that. I've done that for years. Most of them that have been here, they're kind of numb to that. But you brand new people, you say, oh man, I'm glad he's not still a preacher. That would be horrible, horrible, horrible. How many of you, if you would ask a fish, would give him a serpent? Now, that would be a really bad person. You ask for a fish and you get a serpent, snake. Don't you hate snakes? I hate snakes. I hate mice worse, but I hate snakes pretty good. One thing I had in common with Molly, I hate snakes. You say, well, why did Molly marry one? Oh, no. No, that wasn't very nice. Anyway, we were over in Israel, and they have this gefilte fish. It's a pickled fish. Y'all, how many of you have ever had gefilte pickled fish? It's about the ugliest thing I've ever... And Jim Rendy just loved it. Now, Jim Rendy's done more for this church. He's the one that found this property. Without him, we might be on 20 acres in the wonderful city of Hawthorne Woods. Oh, my goodness. And now we're here and just being blessed. And he found it. I remember he told me about it. I'm thinking, oh, it can't be this property. It can't be that much property. And it was 40 acres. The other place, 20 acres. He's the one who found it. But anyway, he was eating this gefilte fish and just loved it. He'd go every breakfast and just pile his plate for and eat it. Now, I love fish, but I can't eat that stuff. And I told him, I said, Jim, I can't believe you're eating boa constrictor. And it looks like a boa, doesn't it? And when I said that, he jumped up and went away, came back, and he was still green. Well, it was really fish, but it was still fun. Still fun. Mark Twain said, and y'all have heard this, but it's so good. When I was a boy of 14, my father was so ignorant I could hardly stand to have the old man around. But when I got to be 21, I was astonished at how much the old man had learned. I tell you, I'll never forget my dad. I never saw my dad ever without a white shirt on. And down in Florida, I have a new preacher, and his name is Randy Ford, and he wears white shirts and long sleeve, even in Florida. I just love him. Pray for him. He's got an infection in his foot, and he's going through a lot, and he's preaching out of a wheelchair. Still preaches better than 90% of the people that stand. Great man. But he always has a white shirt, long sleeve white shirt. Isn't that interesting? My dad never, ever went anywhere without a white shirt. That's my dad, you know. Did that embarrass me? Well, when I was smaller, it did, but when I got bigger, I got impressed. In verse 11, it says, "If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him?" He says, we being evil. You say, well, I'm not evil, Dr. Scudder. I'm not evil. There's nothing evil about me whatsoever. I'm not evil. I'm a good person. Well, Bible says we're evil. On our best day, the best day of our life, on the best day, maybe you may have won 10 people that day, and no other day comes close to that. On your best day, you're still evil compared to God, because God's perfect. We can't even comprehend it. He's perfect. Perfect. That's what our God is. The older I get, the more perfect I know God is, the more power I know God has. He's just such a great God. The word evil on vines, words, it's bad, it's evil, evildoer, it's grievous, grievously harsh, vile and wicked. But I'm not that way. Oh, yes, we are. The best dad in the world can do a lot of improvements. You say, well, you were fortunate. There were some worked as hard as I did, and their kids decided not to serve. The kid still has to decide to serve. I knew my son would do a good job here. I really did. I had no doubt about it. I had no idea how good a job, because he's doing an incredible job. Pray for his health and his stamina. I don't know how he does it. To do that thing for Trinity, to have another separate broadcast, that alone would be enough to kill most people. You know, actors that have a weekly sitcom, that's all they do. When my son does that, plus preach and all the other stuff, it's hard work. It's hard work. And I heard Dr. Stringer, the Sunday he preached, I was sick that day and couldn't go to church, and I was watching him, and he says, he's thriving now. Now, I don't know how you can say that after what he's been through. And all that he preaches, I don't know how he can say that, because he works so hard. But he said, I'm thriving. Why? Because I'm not a pastor. See, that's what no one can understand. And my son, oh, I'm so proud. He preached for us down in Florida on his vacation. He preached, and the people went bonkers. They just loved him. They loved him. I don't know how he does it. I really don't know how he does it. He's just such a great son. And I've got a great daughter, and I've got even greater grandchildren. And about even greater, 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 great, 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 great grandchildren. I mean, God is so good. Now, I know some of you did just as much as I did, and it didn't work, and I feel for you. I pray for you all the time. I know how hard, but don't give up hope. Father's Day is a day of hope. Are you a father or a dad? Well, if you're a dad, you just don't give up hope. If you're a father, you give up hope, but a dad doesn't. A dad doesn't. So let's get some verses. I call these great verses, showing how important a father and family is. In Genesis 31:3, "And the Lord said unto Jacob, Return unto the Lord of the land of thy fathers and to thy kindred, and I will be with thee." The land of the fathers. Boy, I tell you, isn't that something? I think about my dad. When he was young, he lived in Louisville, Kentucky, when Louisville, Kentucky, not very big at that point. And they had a cow in the city. And he had a wagon, and he would hold on the cow's tail, and the cow would pull him all around the city. I'll never forget that. You imagine having a cow in the city? How many of you were raised and you had a cow on the farm that you use? Any of you? Is there no hands? Did I miss a hand? Who? You? Mike? White Sox? Carter? I'm not going to say anything against them because the Cubs have been driving me batty lately. So you're safe. You had a cow? Lots of them. So that's why you're not in the farm anymore. I don't blame you. That cow stuff is hard. It's really hard. Really hard. But you see how it talks about families? The land of thy fathers. Proverbs 17:6, children's children are the crown of old man, and the glory of children are their fathers. Boy, I tell you, we want to see that. Listen, be praying for Matt Adams. And I know Matt didn't always do right, but he's going to Dan Green's church, and he got in a terrible explosion, and it burned him very seriously. So pray for him. Pray for Pastor Bill Adams, one of my best friends in all this world. It's horrible. I think he'll be okay, but it's going to be a long process. Proverbs 19:14-15, house and riches are the inheritance of fathers, and a prudent wife is from the Lord. Slothfulness casteth into a deep sleep, and an idle soul shall suffer hunger. Now we're going to look at the golden rule. This is all part of being a good father. It makes you a dad. If you want to be a dad, just look at the golden rule. In Matthew 7:12, therefore all things whatsoever you would that man do unto you, do you even so to them, for this is the law of the prophets. Do you look around to help people? You know, we were flying here, and we got here late on Wednesday night, and there's this, she had to be close to 90, and she had a pretty heavy bag, and I'm watching, all these men are walking by her, not helping her. So I get there, and I say, ma'am, could I take that down? Oh, sir, thank you, thank you. And then one of the stewardesses, I guess she'd been asleep. Oh, I can help her. And I'm thinking, well, where were you 5 minutes ago? Do we ever look for areas to help people? Where you're not going to get returned. You're not going to even be able to win them to Christ. You just want to help somebody. Do you ever talk to people and try to make them happy? That's what the golden rule is. The golden rule, only God could have this. No man could have thought of this. But in one verse, it embraces all of human behavior in one verse. Can you imagine that? The golden rule, now this is the key. It's way more than teaching people not to steal, not to cheat, or not to injure. It teaches way more than true love and a positive active behavior. It's more than not doing wrong, flying, stealing, cheating. It is more than not just doing good, helping, caring, and giving. The golden rule, now get this, if you get this, you'll go home and have something that'll last you your whole life. The golden rule is looking and searching and seeking for ways to do good. That is it. I remember, you know, sometimes, and we think about Josh, Julian, and his, now he's got twins. His best friend Jamie has twins. Isn't that weird? I mean, that's really weird. We've had twins in our church, but very few twins that were born in our church. We've had some, but then to have two best friends, two guys that in successive years were both MVPs at our tournament. I tell you, the Lakers wanted Josh, but he wouldn't go. That's a little bit embellishing, but anyway. They're both, and now Jamie has twins, and Josh has twins. Jamie has two girls. He has two boys. Isn't that just the most incredible thing? But when Josh, I think at this point, Josh had just been out of diapers for a couple months. I think he was, 13, 14. And they're eating at the table, and, Pastor Paul's an incredible cook, just incredible cook. If you haven't eaten at his place, you don't know what you're missing. Just incredible cook. And Josh, just out of nowhere, I think he was probably 6 or 7, and he looks at Dad and says, "Dad, is it wrong to eat bugs?" Dad said, "Josh, we're having dinner. Why would you ask such a question? Ask after dinner." So after dinner, Pastor Paul goes to Josh. You know, Jared's just a little littler. And then, "Why did you ask that?" Well, he said, "Well, you had a bug in your suit, but don't worry about it. It's gone now." I know, Josh, you got it pretty bad, right, last Sunday? I could have used that on Jared, but I decided you need it twice. You need it twice. Some of you may have heard this, but a child went to his dad and said, "Dad, where did we come from?" And the dad went back and he talked about Adam and having children and this and that. He goes to the mom and the mom says, "Well, we evolved from monkeys." So the child goes to dad and says, "Dad, you lied to me. We came from monkeys." "Oh, no, son, I did not lie. That's your mother's side." "I told you, fathers, I was going to take care of you." See, when we do the golden rule, we give people a taste of heaven. And maybe they'll get saved because of it. There's a wealthy oil tycoon. Don't you like those wealthy oil tycoons? I don't think there's any in this church. You wouldn't be in Illinois. Illinois, if you have wealth, you're not going to have it long. They're going to take it all from you. It's exciting to tell people you're from Illinois. Don't blame you for moving to Florida. Florida, there's no state income tax. Isn't that great? And even on the sales tax, if it's food that you need that is not processed too much, you don't pay sales tax. It's just amazing. You say, "Why would you live in a community that's a golf course community?" I don't know. I like golf carts. I have a golf cart. And I have played what's called putt and play. I've played 2 games of that. I have 4 putters. You have 4 putters? Yeah, I bought 1 set of clubs, the whole set, $5. I'm really spending big on golf. Have I played golf? Oh, no. But I have putted. My kids come, we all putt. It's called putt and play. It's not near as fun as fishing, but it's okay. I went by the pond and our kids are out there fishing. Man, are they having a ball. How could there be fish in that pond? I have no idea, but they're in there and they're thick. Wow. And I see those kids and I say, praise God, they're learning to fish and not golf. I know, Pebble Beach, I know, it's not a good time. And I watched, believe it or not, I watched Tiger win. Now, you know, Tiger's got, some of us, we hate him, some of us love him. Finally forgiven him a little bit, but not totally, but a little bit. Wealthy oil tycoon. He's dying, and the pastor went to see him. He said, "Pastor, if God will heal me, I will write a check for $1 million to the church. I will give $1 million. Wow. You imagine that? $1 million. And miraculously, the guy got healed. Now see, this is what I would call a father, not a dad. So a month after he got healed, and he'd been out of the hospital a month, the preacher runs into him in downtown Houston. He said, "Oh, you remember, I have not got that $1 million you promised." And the tycoon looked and said, "Man, I was sicker than I thought I was. Make that promise." He didn't keep his promise. Now, I don't know if that's true or not. I doubt if it is, but it certainly makes a point, right? It certainly makes a point that we need to think. Are we a dad or a father? Do we keep our word or do we not keep our word? I don't know. That man didn't keep his word, did he? He sure didn't. He sure didn't. Now let's look at verse 14. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few that be that find it. It says, enter at the straight gate. There's only one way to heaven. Listen, if you're going the wide gate, thousands and trillions of ways to go to hell. Trillions. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth into life, and few there be that find it. Straight. Are you going in the straight gate? You say, well, that sounds like the hard gate. No. It's a gate that you have to make a decision. You do not have to make a decision to be in the wide gate. You're already there. You know, now, if you're here and you rode a motorcycle, I don't want you to get all offended and bent out of shape, and I'll never go back. But you know, I've always felt like they're very, very dangerous. And I've encouraged our people to not get all their bones broken. I know some of you just don't like, even Pastor Fontana, one of the, but he's a motorcycle nutcase. And he said to me the other day, do you think we'll ever ease our position? No, I said, never, because we want to keep you in one piece. But we had a guy down in Florida, and we've had some terrible storms, you know how. When we have a belly gusher in Florida, it makes your hardest rain you ever had look like a sprinkle here. And this guy was out in his motorcycle in a storm. He had nowhere to go. He was just trying to ride. And lightning struck him in the head. And he was dead instantly. Now, the non-helmet people said if he hadn't had a helmet, he wouldn't have got struck. Now, come on. Where do they come up with this logic? If he hadn't, well, he'd have got struck. It might not have fried as much because the helmet heated it up, but it was horrible. He died instantly. What would happen if you were to die instantly? What would happen? You say, well, I drive careful. It doesn't matter how careful you drive. Over a year ago, we were sitting at a light, and this idiot comes up and slams us, never put his brakes on. And I tell you, it was painful. And I have Allstate. And we are not in good hands. I hate it. I had an adjuster that I talked to him one day, and I called him about, I documented 35 times. He never called me back. You're in good hands, all right, but you're not in good hands with Allstate. You're in good hands with a God who made Allstate. No, God didn't make Allstate. Satan did. And I said, I want to get loss of the damage to my car, because the minute you get hit, your car is worth about $2,000 less. You think they would help me do that? No. You think they'd help me get the rental car? No. I finally did get the rental car. I threatened to go there and look the guy up, and they decided to pay the rental car. I never got, and I fought and fought and fought. Boy, life's not easy, is it? You have your car in good hands, you think, until you need those good hands, and you find out they're not. Now, if Mr. Murray is still selling Allstate, I wouldn't have said this. Now, if you're here and selling Allstate, I feel for you, and I'll pray for you. But, boy, when my thing comes up, I'm going anywhere but Allstate. Where are you going? They're all bad, but I'm not going to go to the ones you trust your car. Are you in the right hand? Oh, man. You know, when you see those commercials, sometimes you start to believe them until you need them. Well, every man stands before the wide gate. Very few, very, very, very few find the straight gate. Now, what are you talking about, straight gate? See, there's only one way to heaven. Trillions and trillions of ways to hell. Trillions of religions will get you to hell. Many Catholics think they're going to heaven because they never miss Mass, but they're going to hell. Many Baptists think they're going to heaven, but they've never trusted our Savior. They've only been walked forward enough to, they think they're going to heaven, but they never trusted Him as Savior. Many Presbyterians, many whatevers. How about Scientology? Have y'all been seeing those things against Scientology? Man, you'd have to be a nutcase to be a Scientologist. You really would. You, if you haven't, you look it up on the YouTube, and man, they're wicked. Wicked. These are religions. They call themselves religions. Trillions of ways to the wide gate. Only one way to the straight gate. Only one to the straight gate. Every man stands before the wide gate. But only a few are going to find the straight gate. And it's so easy. It's easy. You just have to believe that Christ paid for your whole sin debt. That's all you have to do. Look back here to John 3:16. For God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. It's just a belief. It's a trust. It's when you see that Christ paid it all. That's what means so much. You know, maybe some of you used to go to Willow Creek, or some of you went to McDonald's, or maybe some of you were really big in Howell's Church, or you were, some of you were into Gothardism, and they all let you down. This preacher here will let you down. My son will let you down, because none of us are perfect. But to go to heaven, you got to be perfect. How can you be perfect? Let's just look at these verses, Ephesians 2:8-9. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Any Bible you look at, if it's a Douay, the Catholic Bible still says this. In the Catholic Bible, it says, for by grace you have been saved through faith. That's probably a little better than that one. I remember witnessing to a Catholic lady. Her son had brought me over, and I told her how to go to heaven. She said, that's not in our Bible. I quoted Ephesians 2:8-9. That's not in our Bible. So we grabbed our old family Bible. It's been sitting there. We knocked about 3 or 4 inches of dirt off of it, opened it up, and I read it to her. You know what she said? It didn't used to be in there. They just don't want to accept it. It's a free gift. Are you that way? Friends, if you're that way, get over it and trust Christ. He saved us. He saved us. He saved us by dying on that cross. When He hung there, the perfect Lamb of God shed His blood and washed us whiter than snow. You know, we used to have Art Rorham's father come to our church. We're still in the frame building. And any time I'd say he made us as white as snow, he'd get so mad at me. He'd come out, preacher, whiter than snow. Well, one verse says white, one says whiter, but I never argued with him. He's such a great man. Whiter than snow. See, we're all filthy sinners. We have to be perfect, go to heaven. None of us can be perfect. Impossible to be perfect. But Christ, who was perfect, died for our sins. Isn't that great? Isn't that great? Remember Freddie Coyle when he preached there? Isn't that great? Isn't that great? Well, it is great. It really is great. God is so great. God is so great. He's greater than anything we could imagine. Are you a father? Or are you a dad? Have you trusted Christ? Are you at the wide gate? Or are you at the narrow gate? I hope you're at the narrow gate. Now I want to read one more verse, and then I want to give the invitation. Galatians 4:6. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. That word Abba is the word for daddy. The great Father of all fathers is our Heavenly Father. He's our daddy. You ever pray for him like that? I tell you, I love our God. He's so good. How could he love us? The older I get, the more I'm convinced how he could love me, how he could love you. But he does. And to go to heaven, all you have to do is put your trust at the straight gate, the narrow gate, and say there's only one way, and that's Christ. It's not me going to Mass and doing all this and doing that and saying Hail Marys, or it's not going to a Baptist church or walking forward every single week, and you never really get saved because you don't trust just Christ. It's what Christ did for us. Let me just show this. This billfold, same billfold when I retire. It's water buffalo. It's a Baptist billfold. Knows how to go underwater. This is our sin. God says, I love you, but I hate your sin. See, we have to be sinless. There's nobody in this place, in the bottom or in the balcony, that's sinless. We're all sinners. Many people are going at the broad gate, and they're taking their sins with them, and when they die, they go to hell. When that motorcyclist, unless he was saved, and he could have been saved, but I doubt if he was saved. If he wasn't saved, the minute he got struck, he was in hell. In hell. The atheist that used to roam around Chicago area got in a homemade plane and crashed. The minute he crashed, he was in hell. Michael Landon, I loved him so much. And his boy will say the same thing, Michael Landon Jr. One of his Highway to Heaven shows, they had an atheist going to heaven because he was good. Well, unless Michael Landon got saved at the last, he's in hell. I hope not. I don't want my worst enemy to be in hell. God says, I love you, but hate your sins. He who knew no sin, 2 Corinthians 5:28, hath made him God to be sin for us, that we could be made the righteousness of God in him. The straight gate, only one way. And that's believe that he did it all, and you can't do anything.